In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We're broadcasting live this hour from the SDPB Sioux Falls studios. We're in the Leo P. Flynn Gallery. We have a wonderful live audience with us here today. And the place is just packed with Haig Brothers for the Holiday Jam. They're already on tour, and they're spending their annual... How many years, Jeremy, has it been since you've come and done SDPB? Because we've crammed you in some really teeny tiny spaces, and now we have this lovely space.
We have been creative in the past. It's been most of the years, if not all of them. There may only be one. We've done this 11 years now.
Wow.
So we might be in double digits for South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
It's pretty good. It's one of my favorite hours of the year, but I've confessed before, it wasn't at first because I have no control and I have no idea what they're going to do. and the first year, I just wasn't sure how that was going to work, and now I'm like, that's fine. Let's have some fun. So tonight, you'll be in Mitchell. You've got Huron Pier, Madison, and Sioux Falls, something every single day. How's the tour going?
Very well, except we... You always hope for decent weather so you can get to the spots.
Right.
Once we're there, man, this band is fun to perform with. So.
And how has the weather been?
South Dakota. It's been okay. We got to Rapid City and back in one piece, which is always the key thing.
How much does it take? How many vehicles? How many clowns fit in the car?
We all fit in a van.
You all fit in one van?
But we'll have a vehicle along with... We've got...
I'm not comfortable with that, because what if something happens to that van? Like, you have to spread yourselves out. Yeah. No. And all in one van, and then all the gear fits there, too? Andrew rides separately with his bass.
Well, this goes in the van, too.
That goes in the van, too.
The bass is a band member at this point.
Right.
It gets better seats than the rest of us.
Also, she never really says anything. She's great.
The quiet, bass. Yeah. A quiet partner.
She's great.
All right. So this show, every year you have to kind of reimagine it, Jeremy, and sort of think, what do people demand to hear Christopher sing The Grinch, or they absolutely can't handle if this doesn't happen, versus we have to rethink everything. How do you sort of do the initial planning?
I used to think that you have to do that every year, but there comes a point where you can't, and there's two reasons for that. One, it's fun to play some of those songs and repeat them, because they turn out to be good versions, and the crowd wants to hear them every year. I guarantee they won't hear us do it between January and November, so it's okay. It's just confined to this time of year. And the other reason is you start to run out of Christmas songs. Like, if you do it 11 years and you do 20 different tunes a concert or 22 different tunes a concert, you're over 200 songs. That's... There's name 30 from the holidays that you like. So you start to run out, I think. Yeah. And the trick is to find maybe new ways to do, with new personnel, to do the same music that you've performed before.
All right. Well, let's hear some music, and we'll meet some of the new personnel here in a little bit. But
okay.
Let's have some songs. What will you do first?
We're going to do a song that we're doing on the program this year. We don't have our drummer man here, but we're going to make do. This is going to be an interesting thing for you guys, hearing the band without a drummer. But this is a song by Sting called The Hounds of Winter.
Mm. 1, 2, 3, and... Mercury falling, I rise up from my bed. Collect my thoughts together, I have to hold my head. It seems that she's gone, and somehow I am thin by the hounds of a winter howling in the wind. I walk through the day, my coat around my ears. I look for my companion, I have to dry my tears. It seems that she's gone, leaving me too soon. I'm as dark as December, as cold as the man in the moon. I still see her face, as beautiful as day. easy to remember. Remember my love that way. All I hear is that lonesome sound. The hounds of a winter, they follow me down. Can't make up the fire the way that she could. Spend all my days in the search for dry wood. Board all the windows, close the front door. I can't believe she won't be here anymore. I still see her face, as beautiful as day. Easy to remember, remember my love that way. All I hear is that lonesome sound. The hounds of a winter, they follow me down. Oh. She's gone, I'm gonna surely, surely follow. She brightened my day, she warmed the coldest night. The hounds of a winter, they got me in their sight. I still see her face, as beautiful as day. Easy to remember. Is that lonesome, lonesome sound? The hounds of a winter, they carry me down. Oh, oh, hey.
If you are just tuning in, it's Holiday Jam with the Hegg Brothers. They stop by South Dakota Public Broadcasting. They go throughout the state every year, and then they come here for us for this radio mix that we send out. So if you can't make it to a concert in all the towns that they're at, I think that's incredibly generous of you. Not only is it a huge operation, but just to make sure that the music gets to everyone throughout the state and all these areas where they can't get to you. If you can get to Mitchell, they're in Mitchell tonight, Huron, on the 18th, the 19th in Pierre, Madison on the 20th, and Sioux Falls on the 21st. It's a whole lot of fun, isn't it? I mean, you're having fun. I'm having fun.
You can always tell if performers are having fun. That's something that can't be faked. I don't think that can be faked. You can fake a lot of stuff in the arts or in politics or in work, whatever it is. But you can't fake when you really genuinely enjoy the people and love them, you know, the people that are sharing the stage with you.
See, I didn't know that at first when I started this show. And it was Larry Rohr who'd always come up to me and say, are you having fun? And I was like, fun. I'm supposed to be having fun. And he's like, yes, you're supposed to be having
you
fun.
You are allowed to have fun, Lori.
And that changes everything when someone tells you that. So let's introduce some of the band members for folks on the radio. We've got Jim Spears on trumpet, Matt Wallace on tenor sax, Jeremy Haig, vocals and keyboard. John Haig is on keyboard as well. Andrew Reinhardt is here on bass. Christopher Smith is playing guitar. You hear Christian Zamora on violin. And did I get everyone except for our new Tim Kobza?
Yes, Tim Kobza.
So let's meet Tim Kobza a little bit. And hi, nice to meet you. Thanks for being here. And tell us a little bit about your connection with these musicians and sort of jumping in. Is this the first time you've played at this?
No, yesterday was the first day. No.
Awesome.
No, 2 days ago, actually. Yeah.
How'd the connection work?
I grew up with Matt Wallace in Omaha, Nebraska. So him and I go way back. I live in LA, but we still continue our tradition of playing together every year. And then I met the Haig brothers through Matt, and then here I am.
Yeah. So have you spent a lot of time driving the back roads of South Dakota before?
No.
Are you learning a lot about the state of South Dakota?
I've been up here a few times. So
yeah.
As a kid, Mount Rushmore, places like that, the Corn Palace,
Well, you'll be there tonight. So, thank you for coming and
great.
Welcome.
Yeah, thank you. It's my pleasure to play with and meet all these great players, and we're having a lot of laughs.
All right.
So it's really fun. It's cold, but it's okay.
We'll talk about some of those laughs after the break, but before we go to break, let's have one more song. What do you think, Jeremy? Let's talk a little bit because Jim said something about education, and so many of you have stories of the teacher who helped you find your way in music, and then so many of you are teachers or mentors in a variety of ways Who wants to begin with that conversation about, you know, somebody who meant a lot to you musically, you know, as a young artist, and how you kind of process that and your responsibility now that you're professional musicians of passing that on to a new generation?
Well, for me, my mind immediately goes to the Haig family, because Jaron John's mom taught me how to play French horn, and their dad was my high school band director, and I pretty much 99% of what I know comes from the Haig family. So it's natural to keep going with it.
When did you know that you wanted to do this, you know, other? I mean, there's so many wonderful reasons for a kid to pick up an instrument and play, some of which don't have anything to do with playing as an adult. When did you know that, like, no, I want to keep doing, like, this is part of who I am and what I want to be doing?
Well, I went to college for a couple years as an English major, but I kept playing with the wind ensemble and started to learn guitar in college. And that's when I figured I might as well just play music and not worry about English. I already knew how to speak it anyway, so.
Christian, that's something that, you know, you as a teacher of, I mean, little tiny kids with little tiny violins in their hands have come to you for years, you know, playing the Suzuki method. Is that how you started?
No, I started in the public schools. I did do some Suzuki teaching, or I was in the method for about 3 years in middle school, and then I started taking lessons with the guy who a year later would start dating my mom, and then a year after that, he got married to her. And so, yeah, my stepdad was my violin teacher. Wow. And so that became interesting years later, because after he retired from the Kansas City Symphony, in fact, I play his old violin. That's what I have. Wow. Yeah, it's really old. But after he retired from the Kansas City Symphony, he's now a high school math teacher in Kansas City, and with all the work that I do with little kids, we actually have swapped a lot of research on brain development and psychology when it comes to teaching, and so he's been a huge resource for me, and I for him. So we still, you know, nerd out about music and teaching all the time whenever we talk, and so it's, you know, he's definitely my biggest influence. Yeah.
Andrew, you mentioned, let's talk a little bit about E-Man, Emmanuel, and some of the work that he's doing, because we have in the community a young artist who is getting all kinds of national opportunities and attention because of the talent that he has, and he's spent a lot of time with various renditions of the people in this room, you know, saying, come play with us. Talk about bringing this sort of next generation on. And not specifically just, you know, it can help in so many ways, but when you find a talent like that and have an opportunity to say, everybody pay attention, look at this kid.
Yeah, well, Emmanuel is one of those, he is so humble, he will never admit this, but he's one of those kind of once-in-a-lifetime people to be coming out of a community. I mean, that's an undeniable talent, and personally, I'm just kind of already in that space of like, well, cool. I'm glad I got to know him now, because then when, you know, in 10 years, I'll be able to say that, hey, I played a couple gigs with that kid. But in this, I don't say this because three of us were involved in this program, but it was truly humbling that the Jazz Diversity Project, which has been going for over a decade, we've played for over 60,000 kids in the state of South Dakota, taking a school assembly program that talks about social sciences and American history through the lens of jazz music and of the sort of racial equity and integration issues that have happened in our country through that music. It turns out that he saw us in eighth grade at a JDP show. He was playing sax and kind of wanted to start playing guitar, and saw that show and fell in love with jazz. And he's like, nope, this is what I want to do. And then the next summer, we saw him at the jazz camp, and he was already shredding Donna Lee during the breaks and kind of working on it. And we're like, hey, man, how long have you been playing? He's like, oh, about 4 months. And we're like, son of a, like, come on, man, that's not fair. But then it's been great because, you know, through these public jam sessions that we do, as well as inviting him to perform. I mean, one thing that I love about music and art in general, but especially improvised music and music that has long traditions like jazz, is that, I mean, even just in the band today, we're all vastly different ages. I mean, but you get to have that intergenerational interaction in a way that a lot of other jobs, other passions, other avocations and vocations, you don't get to do quite as much. And so it's a great way to, I mean, I've learned immense amounts from everybody in this band. And I mean, if any of us can pass anything on to anyone else, that's what it's all about, if we can make it happen.
Is there a sense of, you know, when you think about E-Man, one of the things that he's almost like a Zen master when he talks. He's just a nice person with great character. And when you think about athletics, for example, you think about the character lessons that are passed down. Is it the same for music? Tell us a little bit about some of the things outside of here's how to play this and here's how jazz works, to what kind of human being that you're going to be in the world. Is that Definitely. Part of the interaction?
Yeah, I think very much so. And I think that all art has that. If I'm focusing on jazz or improvised music, part of it is you really can't have, you know, there's a certain amount of ego as far as, you know, you're doing a solo and you're wiggling your fingers real fast and saying something, but even then it's a group dynamic, and you always have to have big ears listening to everything going on around you and always supporting each other and supporting the music, supporting the song. You know, that's always what's the most important. So I think a lot of those lessons you have to learn pretty quickly in improvised music, because if you're just sitting back there playing whatever the heck you want and you stomp on a soloist, or you do a really hip chord substitution and it confuses the rest of the band as to where they are on the chart, you've failed. You know, it doesn't matter if that was really cool. You have to be supporting each other and listening. And I think that really helps breed a lot of, as well as just the self-discipline of, if you want to get better, the only way, you know, and this is one thing with E-Man, yes, he has a ton of natural talent. He's also worked his butt off, and he plays all the time. The only way to get better at something is to just do a lot of it. Yeah. And so I think you learn a lot of self-discipline and self-motivation through that process.
And that never ends, as we sort of do the radio mix here, and then you're in this room trying to listen to each other and hear it. I mean, it's got to be different in every town, different in every space. That's not something you get to outgrow. Sorry.
No, well, yeah. I mean, today, I mean, we're doing this without a drummer. We've never done any of these tunes without a drummer before, so we're kind of just going for it. So.
Yeah. All right, let's have another song, please.
Thank you.
Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We're broadcasting live today from the SDPB Sioux Falls studios. We're in the Leo P. Flynn Gallery. We have a wonderful audience, and thank you so much for being here. It makes it so much more fun with people to listen to live music from Holiday Jam with the Hegg Brothers. And you can see them tonight in Mitchell. It's December 17th. December 18th, they're in Huron. 19th, they'll be in Pierre. 20th in Madison, and the 21st back here to Sioux Falls. So it's a van full of really a whole lot of talent. I'm still nervous that you're all in the same car. I think you should have like three cars. But let's talk a little bit about being on the road. And John, we haven't heard from you yet. So
this is where we go down, right?
This is where we go. You know how I have to save it to a certain time all in right. the hour. So if we go off the rails, no.
They call me the deal breaker, and I can't tell if that's a good thing or a bad thing. We haven't figured that out yet.
What do you talk about in the van? What do you talk about in the van? What are those conversations
you know,
like?
You I'm the driver. I get to only hear them when they laugh, and then I think they're talking about me. So I don't know. I really don't know half the conversations.
What are some of the things that you look forward to? You know, where do you stop to eat? Where do you sort of notice how the state is changing? What are some of those hallmarks for you or halls that you play that you really look forward to, you know, that space?
The fun thing is typically the venues have been nice, and this week especially we're either at good high school auditoriums, performing arts centers, or at the Pavilion. Wah, wah. You know, it's we're off to that part of it's fun. What I like about the communities is each year there's, even if it's just two to four more people who now you know, and next mm-hmm. year that adds to now the 30 people you now know in this community that you had no idea about 11 years ago. And, you know, it's fun. You'll be talking to them like, I want to get a CD. Which I have that one. I have that one. I have that one. I'm like, sorry, we didn't do a new one this year. the relationship that to know that that's something that they mark on their calendar and want to go is kind of the hope behind why we did it in the first place.
Does that kind of get a little mind bending after a while?
No, it doesn't, because we did this with Acoustic Christmas for 3 years and we're still trying to catch up. Jeremy and I did that.
Right.
And so seeing what they developed in years 17, 18, and 19 of their tour, going into year one is like all we could think of was there's a lot to build now. So, right. But right. Some of that spilled over and left. So some of those relationships and some of those communities are ones that were complete carry-ons from that time with them. So it's a nice, hopefully we're continuing on in some of that tradition.
Has it made you a better musician, a better friend, a better South Dakotan? How has it sort of changed you personally?
Probably all the above. As a musician, it was fun to, I was telling somebody, the group wasn't like this template of, let's for sure have this exact instrumentation and make sure the vibe is like, no, it just seemed like when people pop up at the right times, like, oh, you're not doing that this year, so you're open? Yeah. Throw that in. And you realize when it's based on people, by the time you're even around people this good, it's a no-brainer. They can all do it. So when they're available to do it, that's fun to add. But so you learn anytime that comes in, and it often teaches you how to be quieter. There's a fun safety in numbers when we play with groups this big. But the discipline, and I found this out in the times that I have taught music, usually the biggest mistakes the students make are playing rests or on the rests. And it's frustrating to teach them the importance of when they need to be quiet. And then you come back to something like this and you're like, well, me too. Yeah. You know, I need to make sure I walk the walk on that one. So. Yeah. There's a lot of discipline, but there's a safety numbers, and the fun thing is inherently there's a structure behind everything we do, but once you get that and understand it, your mind's wrapped around it, and you understand what everybody else is doing, then you get to go off and have the improvisational fun or the spontaneous moments that they're possible, and they creep up based on being able to control it to a certain amount.
As a non-musician, I've never understood that, and I'm probably going to keep asking that question until one day I'm like, oh, but I understand what structure is happening and how you can flip into, like, how, where is that foundation laid for you? How do you explain that to a non-musician to say there is a structure and then there's a five-minute, you know, solo from someone? How do you even make that happen?
Well, the experience will, but also, frankly, if you made it through sixth grade band and you came and looked at our charts, all the markings in there in terms of the road mapping of it with repeats or codas or anything are stuff you would have known at that age.
Okay.
You just get used to following them a little more, you know. You might make a note of make sure we do something three times instead of twice, but otherwise, it's just how music's written out. And luckily,
I made it through sixth grade band.
Hey, so we could show you exactly what we're doing. It obviously gets more complex, and there's there's bigger shortcuts, but the more you know about music, you just find you can compartmentalize and take 10 bits of information and now make it one, and you can do that with now 10 bits more of information. And people will think that's weird, and I will say that every person in here who's ever worked does that at their job, just with something else.
Yeah.
That's just how we operate as human beings. We try to make things as economic in terms of the thought process and how to put things together, and we're just doing it with music.
I think that makes as much, for me, it's more fun to listen to when I know a little bit of that, sort of what's happening. Matt Wallace, I want to make sure that we get a chance to talk to you, because tell us what kind of projects you've got during the rest of the year. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, the music scene in Omaha has been pretty good. I play in 12 different bands, including the Hegg Boys. And so I put a lot of irons in the fire, and they all work on a pretty regular basis, so things seem to be going well. We actually have a new world-class jazz club in Omaha called The Jewel, which the Hegg Boys, we did a Steely Dan thing. We'll also do it again April 24th, and we're hoping to bring that show eventually here. So any of you promoters out there, bring our Steely Dan band to Sioux Falls, please.
Does you're in a different group. Everyone has its own flavor and feel. Describe this one. What is it like to be with this group of people?
It's sort of a summer wayward home for boys music camp. and Allison Nash puts up with us. That's kind of the way that rolls. Yeah. There's some magic about not only the time of year, but the fact that most of us don't get to see each other except this time of year. So there's an excitement and a build to it that's really kind of the Christmas for us, is getting to see each other and to play this great music that Jer and John provide us.
Yeah. Well, I think we can get to another song here if you like. You're listening to In the Moment today on SDPB Radio. We're live from the Sioux Falls studios, and we've got musicians Jeremy Hegg, John Hegg, Andrew Reinhardts, Christopher Smith, Christian Zamora, Matt Wallace, Joel Shotwell, Jim Spears, and Tim Kobza, all here. We're short of percussionists today, and they have made it sound absolutely phenomenal here in the studio. So what's next?
Christmas time is here.
Thank you. holiday jam with the Hegg Brothers. They're going to get in the van here in a few minutes and probably head to Mitchell. And then December 18th, you can see them in Huron, 19th in Pierre, 20th in Madison, and 21st in Sioux Falls. I'm going to close the show here and say thank you very much and pass it over to you for some music on the way out the door. But a website people can go to find out more information if they want. You can profiles on these talented musicians, which we barely even touched on. So what's the website?
Holidayjam.com.
Holiday
Pretty
Jam.
Easy.
Yeah, there you go. And Jeremy, John says he doesn't know what you talk about in the van when you drive. So what are you really talking about him and making fun of him?
Oh, yeah. Of course we are. That's the easiest question I've ever gotten in a radio interview.